It is just an incredible fire burning in Waxahachie right now.
From here, I just see a bunch of black smoke up in the air.
Schools and businesses evacuated.
It's best for people to get out of the area if they can.
The entire KRLD news team is working on this breaking story for you as we start with LP Phillips on the scene in Waxahachie near 287 and 35 ELP.
And we are literally in the parking lot of this chemical company that started up in flames with an explosion about 11 o'clock this morning.
Our chief meteorologist, Krista Villarreal, is checking it out. Krista, thanks for joining us. Are these winds blowing this smoke up towards the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Yes, and in two different ways. We have surface winds at the top of the hour in Waxahachie.
If you are a parent trying to get to the Waxahachie Ninth Grade Academy to pick up your kid, you want to give yourself extra time because, remember, 287 is basically closed down in both directions.
Chemical fire has been burning for several hours in Waxahachie, the smoke blowing toward Dallas and southeastern Fort Worth. KRLD's LP Phillips is on the scene and joins us with a live update. LP?
This fire in Megablen started about 11 o'clock. It has scorched areas all the way around 287. One fire truck was actually overrun by the flames. The building itself, this chemical company, is built out of a corrugated steel building. It's completely melted and curled inward. There are no injuries that we report.
The toxic fumes from this fire, what dangers do they pose to anyone in the path of the smoke? Dr. Gary Weinstein's at Texas Presbyterian Dallas.
There's a long list of chemicals that could be in the air.
Yeah, those fires back in April were devastating enough, and now it's happening all over again near Possum Kingdom Lake, a huge wildfire that erupted yesterday afternoon, still uncontained. KRLD's LP Phillips is there. He joins us live with the very latest right now. LP?
And Mike, kind of a rugged terrain here, a lot of hills, a lot of brush, very sparsely populated. The sun is not quite coming up, but you can just start to see the beginnings of daybreak, and they are going to get no help.
I'm KRLD's Emily Troube. This area was really just recovering from the wildfires that hit just a few months ago, and now they're being evacuated again.
I don't think I have my head around it yet. It's just unbelievable, and I don't know. Just can't believe it.
That woman, Linda, and her husband, Paul Jackson, got out of their home in time, but they've lost everything.
Sick that we didn't get that I didn't get the pictures, you know, of our folks and things like that, and just things like that, you know, that we didn't have time to get.
In all, 20 homes have been destroyed. The massive fire still raging this morning. It has grown to 3,500 acres since yesterday afternoon, 0% contained. And 125 homes that didn't see fire a few months ago now in danger of being destroyed. Plus, the charred areas from the earlier fires could be burned once again. Reporting live, Emily Troube, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
They are on the ground and in the air. Firefighters working against flames that are fueled by dry brush and fanned by increasing winds. Columns of smoke are now visible where none could be seen this morning. John Nichols of the Texas Forest Service says everyone who can be used is somewhere near those flames.
There's about 35 volunteer fire department folks and about 100 Texas Forest Service folks.
Sheriff Ira Mercer says the cause is still under investigation.
More than 400 homes have burned in Bastrop County, which is just to the southeast of Austin, and the county judge, Ronnie McDonald, says the weather is only making things worse.
Because of the winds and the amount of fires that are happening in central Texas, it's caused a real strain on the firefighters.
This woman says there was no time to think.
There was a policeman that just started hollering seriously through that big megaphone to get out of your houses immediately now.
She and others say the only possessions they had time to grab were their family photos.
Top man is trying to find your exact location.
For firefighters at a Dallas fire station, it's no secret that it's brutal fighting fires in this triple-digit heat. Jason Evans with Dallas Fire Rescue explains their gear alone is a huge burden.
As well as keeping heat from contacting us, it also keeps our body heat inside, which increases the temperature of that gear, you know, 50, 60, even 100 degrees.
An excessive heat warning in effect, as you've been hearing already, and that goes through Thursday. It starts actually in about 50 minutes. But what it means is the afternoon highs will be at least 105.
Speaking of the heat, it has turned deadly in Dallas County for sure. And joining me right now live is Zach Thompson. He is the director of the Dallas County Health Department. Zach, tell us, what's the latest? We're hearing about several deaths.
Right now, Dallas County Health and Human Services reported 9 heat-related deaths in Dallas County. We're real concerned going into this extreme heat condition we're facing, so we're asking Dallas County residents to take precaution.
The Electric Reliability Council of Texas is in the thick of its peak demand right now, prompting the grid operator to urge conservation.
The air conditioning is your big user, and to the extent you can turn that thermostat up, we recommend about 78 or a little higher, as long as you're relatively comfortable.
And KRLD's Barbara Schwartz says the heat proves deadly in North Texas again.
There have been 9 heat-related deaths in Dallas County this year and 1 in Tarrant County. 2 of those Dallas County residents had working air conditioners but didn't turn them on because they couldn't afford the electric bill.
CBSDFW.com wants to help you beat the heat. You can find out how. Go to the homepage, CBSDFW.com.
Yeah, more than 100 degrees outside, a lot hotter than that, inside a stifling SUV. And 4 Dallas kids were left alone in one yesterday.
It's sad. It's hurtful. It's sad.
Witnesses recall how the 4 children, the youngest just a baby, the oldest only about 5, were in a bad way.
Lost the energy. No. About to pass out.
Preston Wood Christian Academy's defensive coordinator, Mike McLean, collapsed and died after afternoon practice yesterday. It was the team's 2nd practice of the day. The temperature was well over 100 degrees. Details about McLean's death have not been released, but it's being assumed that the heat was a factor. Hundreds of his colleagues and young people he's coached and taught over the years gathered at Preston Wood Christian Academy last night for an impromptu prayer vigil.
Some North Texans eligible for a free air conditioning unit, a wall unit if they can't afford one. But they may have to wait in line behind people who don't need one.
Good morning, Dallas County. Could you hold for me, please?
The Dallas County Call Center is swamped with calls from people who want air conditioners who already have one. Dallas County Health Department Director Zach Thompson is appalled.
And when people are calling that hotline number who clearly are just trying to get a freebie, I'm saying don't call.
And a lot of cooling stations set up throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 15 alone from the Salvation Army. You can find the locations of all of those on our website, cbsdfw.com.
Now, the extreme heat is taking a toll on tires in North Texas.
During the summer, the Dallas County Sheriff's Department usually has its courtesy patrol helping drivers with engine problems stuck on the side of freeways.
Mourners paid final respects today to Preston Wood Christian Academy coach and teacher Wade McLean. He died of heat and a heart condition this week.
Well, if you're looking for some answers.
Hundreds remembered Wade McLean as a family man and uplifting teacher and coach who held tightly to his religious values.
These marching band players at Highland Park High School near downtown Dallas have practiced most of the summer to prepare for their big day. Tomorrow, they hit the field at 4:30 in the afternoon when temperatures could hit 104 degrees. But band director Reagan Brumley says the kids will get a break from their regular uniforms this time.
Well, instead of our normal full uniform, we'll be wearing polos and khaki shorts, so the kids will still be in uniform, but not be so hot.
Dallas Fire Rescue tells us they've been getting 911 calls from all over the city, people calling in from Plano as well. It is apparently the result of a fire that is burning right now near Loop 12.
Loop 12 in Singleton is what we're hearing. It may be a landfill there. I understand that Rob Civilly is flying above the area. If we can bring Rob Civilly up. Rob, what are you seeing?
Yeah, Scott, we noticed this a couple of minutes ago. If you're traveling anywhere near that area of Loop 12 and I-30, the landfill's located just to the west of this location, about 2 miles. Not sure what's burning there, but with hardly any wind at all, we've been watching this smoke just kind of blanket the city of Dallas.
The old post office and courthouse in downtown Dallas first opened in 1930. In the passing decades, the courtroom upstairs held trials stemming from the most notorious crimes and criminals in Dallas, Bonnie and Clyde, and the Kennedy assassination. The building was basically abandoned in the 1970s, and there was a big push to tear it down in the 80s. Then Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson put a stop to all of that, and the building was eventually sold to developer Sean Scott, who now leases the ground floor to the Postal Service. Scott is also leasing out the rest of the building to people who will live in what are the former offices of the FBI, Agriculture Department, and every other federal agency that has a location in Dallas.
Hallways in each of the floors extend over 12 feet in width. And, for example, on this floor you have what appears to be Italian Carrara marble. It's actually from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Ceilings are 13-plus feet tall. And it really provides a feel for lease residential property, very much like an exquisite upper-end hotel.
It has not been an easy restoration because of the detailed work and because of the economy.
These are tough times.
With Will Sterrett, I'm Matt Thomas, and we begin team coverage now of an FBI investigation into Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price and others. KRLD's L.P. Phillips just spoke with John Wiley Price at a law office in North Dallas and joins us live with the latest on what came out of that conversation. L.P.?
And Price has been at this office from the time his office was raided this morning, he said just after 7 o'clock, until this very moment. He says he has not been allowed back in his home where another search has been going on, nor is he sure when he will be allowed back in his home. In a wide-ranging news conference that really didn't cover a whole lot of answers, a lot of questions, this is what Price said.
For 27 years, I've represented my constituents, and I plan on being around for the next 27 years. I have no idea what this is all about. I've seen the search warrants. And
FBI agents are actually still in the Dallas County Commissioner's Court. Earlier, about an hour and a half ago, they did search two vehicles out here, a Chevy Avalanche and a BMW. Both of these cars were registered to a Kathy Neely, who is John Wiley Price's campaign chair.
Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins cannot comment on what the FBI is doing, but he did talk a little bit about everything that's happening.
Commissioner's Court will be held tomorrow at 9 a.m., and I've asked that the FBI make every effort to conclude their inquiry as far as searching our building by tomorrow morning.
County officials slowly started to hear about the raid while they were sitting in the audience watching as Dallas's new mayor was being sworn in at the Meyerson Center. News made its way through the Symphony Hall via text message, caught a lot of folks by surprise, including County Commissioner Elba Garcia.
I have no idea. I know probably as much as you do. I just hear about it. There's no comment.
Sheriff Lupe Valdez also at the ceremony. She tells us the FBI didn't consult her office or ask them to help out in this raid.
Well, less than 24 hours after the FBI raided and searched Dallas County Commissioner's John Wiley Price's office and home, commissioners will meet this morning. Mr. Price says he will be there. As a matter of fact, he is with us now live this morning. Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning.
Two things. First off, your perspective on yesterday. And then secondly, have you had reaction from your coworkers?
Only what I've seen on the news. And yesterday was yesterday, and today's a new day. And it's Commissioner's Court Day, and it's business as usual.
17 degrees now at KRLD at 7:03. Ernie Brown and Mike Rogers, possible rolling blackouts again, and the cold temperatures just don't seem to go away. They're hanging on with ice on the roads as well.
Yeah, schools are still closed. We've got it again this morning. Let's check in first with KRLD's chief meteorologist Krista Villarreal and the latest. Now we've got a little snow to throw into the mix.
That's right. We have the possibility of flurries today, but there's another storm system that could bring some snow showers tonight and into tomorrow, putting a fresh layer on top of what's already on the ground.
School closings, meanwhile, most local districts are closed once again. A few are delayed, though, to our south and east. They will be holding class today in Forney, in Kaufman, Hillsboro, Crandall, Greenville, Chisholm, North Lamar. They'll just be starting late. We've got the complete list of closings at KRLD.com.
Encore is reporting about 10,000 power outages in the DFW area this morning. After rolling blackouts and long power outages yesterday, what do we have in store for today?
Busted pipes and power plants cut supplies between 10 and 15% yesterday, so ERCOT ordered Encore to do the rotating power outages.
Why no one was warned about the rolling outages across the state? PUC Commissioner Ken Anderson.
Both ERCOT and generators had so much advance notice. It's not as if we all didn't expect that this was going to be a very, very cold week.
The PUC also wants to know why ERCOT didn't follow protocol by sending out warnings about low reserves of power. That panel will meet today to start looking for answers. ERCOT, by the way, is urging all Texans to conserve as much energy as possible.
It's 7:08, and Rob Civilly is keeping an eye on this jackknife FedEx truck on 30. How's it coming there, Rob?
Yeah, lots of ice on the roadway, and that's one reason that that truck is completely turned sideways, and it's blocking everything but the left lane.
Very scary situation, Will, in the 1 o'clock hour this afternoon when six workers readying things for the big game on Sunday were hit by a huge section of ice and snow that broke off in the sun, slid down the roof at the northeast corner of Cowboys Stadium and hit them. Most of the injuries minor, but at least one person was badly hurt.
He is lucid. He is talking with us.
Street, Occupy Wall Street, they called it. The spinoffs have been spreading across the country, and it's now in Texas today, including Austin, San Antonio, Houston. and in downtown Dallas. And that's where we find KRLD's Emily Trube with this live report. Emily?
There are easily 300 people participating in this. Here's some of the rally that got things started in Pike Park.
Peaceful protest is under attack. What do we do? Poor people under attack. What do we do?
The crowd is now making its way across Harry Hines with the cooperation and the help of the police. This portion of Harry Hines by Pike Park has been shut down so that people can make their way across the street. They are quiet as they are marching across the street, staying to the sidewalks when they can, holding up their signs. And this crowd is made up of people from all different segments of the society.
I've seen people who are libertarians here. I've seen people I know to be Republicans here. I've seen a lot of people here I know to be Democrats. I've seen people that have no political affiliation.
Mike Curtis is a nurse who took some time off to show his solidarity for the Occupy movement. He says the arrests are a good thing because they were losing the attention of the public and the media.
I hope they tell their representative, the congressman, the senators, whatever, that we're tired of it.
Minutes, but our top story this morning is the death of bin Laden. Finally, after nearly 10 years, Osama bin Laden located, killed, his body buried at sea, dumped into the ocean after a 40-minute firefight claimed his life yesterday in Pakistan. Reaction now. DFW Airport, people relieved to hear that bin Laden is dead. KRLD's Emily Trube is live there with more this morning. Emily?
Folks here are relieved and happy, of course, to hear the news, but they're not necessarily looking at the situation with rose-colored glasses. They tell me they don't necessarily feel any safer getting on a plane today, and they do expect at some point for there to be some kind of retaliation. I'm here at Terminal D. This is where they launched the body scanners here at DFW Airport. That's just one of the checks that we now all have to go through when we get on a plane following 9/11.
As news of bin Laden's death spread, crowds started gathering outside the Dallas home of former President George W. Bush, and that is where we find KRLD's Matt Thomas live right now. Matt.
Alice, the rain has since dispersed the crowd, but yes, a small group in very high spirits waved American flags here at the gate on Daria Place shortly after word of Osama bin Laden's death spread, and former President Bush released a statement from his home here, revealing that President Obama actually called to give him the news last night. Bush congratulated President Obama in that call, a sign thanking Bush remains on the gate.
Ricky Mohammed and David Dundenhofer are working together to build the new World Trade Center towers as iron workers.
So that's what's going to make the building really strong.
Yeah, that's what actually is going to protect the building. Like, God forbid anything else happens.
We were able to catch up with them at a hangout near the site and right next to the fire station memorial dedicated to the first responders. Ricky and David got the coveted job of rebuilding the towers through Helmets to Hard Hats, a program that directs veterans to construction jobs. Both of these men are Iraqi vets.
Yeah, we're in combat together. Now we just can read each other. We don't even need to say anything, you know? It's weird.
So you knew each other over there?
We were in the same vehicle.
We're in the same vehicle, but he was a medic, and I was a gunner on top of the Humvee.
That's David. He likes to wear a T-shirt with an Arabic phrase on the front.
What does it say in English? Shirt mean?
Oh, it says, "Who's your Baghdadi?"
There were 110 flights of stairs at the World Trade Towers before they collapsed on New York City. So firefighters are finishing what their fallen brothers never got to do and climb those 110 flights. Arlington firefighter Phil Alvarado has been training for this event for the last 6 months.
It was a time of intense emotions. In Dallas, Mark Stroman went to three convenience stores and shot three clerks he thought were Muslims. Two died.
My split second of hate and anger after 9/11 has caused many people lifetimes of pain. I regret that to this day.
Race Beyond was the lone survivor and actually forgave the proclaimed white supremacists.
Please show mercy. Please spare the life of Mark Stroman.
But Stroman was executed. It highlights the intense feelings following the attacks. Nadia Syed is Muslim of Pakistani descent, American-born, raised in Fort Worth.
I was 11 years old. I remember being in class, and they wouldn't tell us, but I remember our teacher leaving the classroom to cry in her closet when she found out. And I remember my teacher taking me aside, because everyone knew I was Muslim, and she took me aside, and she asked me, if anyone gave me any trouble, please let her know, and There were students who would stick by me, and I felt a huge amount of support immediately after.
Noreen Syed is her sister.
Actually, I had a different experience from Nadia. I dealt with a lot of racism in high school. People would make terrorist jokes a lot, and I would try to laugh it off usually.
Representative David Simpson's proposal is to charge the TSA agents who perform the searches with a felony, same as a sexual assault charge. Simpson says the searches have escalated since terrorists got on commercial airplanes on 9/11.
Then we had the shoe bomber, and now we take off our shoes. Then we had the underwear bomber. Now they put their hands down our pants.
Sadinia Belamashkin of Saginaw has family in Libya. When she got a call this morning that Gaddafi was captured, her initial reaction was shock.
He'd been hiding. He'd been hiding all this time. And, you know, we'd been wanting this since February 17th, if not before. And it really just took me by surprise.
Although she was happy at first, reports of his death leaves her with mixed feelings.
I would rather be alive than dead so that he could be held accountable. He could be brought to justice for all the heinous acts he's committed over the past 42 years.
But people want to know, what are you going to do about education in this city? Dallas Independent School District facing $110 million deficit. Mayor Leppert made a bid to try to take over the DISD. Of course, that failed, and that was a non-starter. But you got to be a visionary if you're going to lead a city like this. So I'd start with you, Chief Kunkel. What would you do as mayor to maybe increase the role of the city in DISD? What do you do to fix education?
Yeah, it's important to realize that the school board does have primary responsibility. If we don't do a better job of educating 160,000 kids in DISD, our future is not going to be good.
In the book, you talk about the decision post 9/11 to look at the situation and vis-a-vis the terrorists and the attacks against our country and what was going on in the world. The decision was made to treat it as an act of war as opposed to a criminal act. Can you talk a little bit about what went into that decision making?
The pattern had been in the previous couple of decades, we'd suffered a lot of terrorist attacks. The attack at the Marine Barracks in Beirut, the attack on the USS Cole and the death of a number of our naval personnel, the attacks on the American embassies in Africa.
Joining us now to talk about immigration and other things, and also the visit by President Obama to Texas yesterday, is Governor Rick Perry. Good morning, sir.
Howdy. Good morning to you.
Still, a lot of moms get nervous, and if they're like me, like I was when I was nursing, they spend a lot of time scouring the internet to make sure that whatever medication they're taking is safe for their baby. And now that search is a lot easier. Tell me about that.
Yes, it is a lot easier, although they still do a lot of searching, and eventually they'll eventually find the infant risk center, which is now, you know, a well-established national call center where physicians or mothers can call and they can ask about the drug and whether or not it's safe to use while they're pregnant or while they're breastfeeding. We also have a new app, an iPhone and Android phone app that we just introduced today.
Texas country singer Neil McCoy has written his own Rangers song in honor of the team going to the World Series.
We got a good thing going. It's a Nolan Ryan way. Playing Texas Rangers baseball down on Ballpark Way.
KRLD's Emily Troube actually spoke to Neil McCoy about his new tune.
The song, how did you come up with it?
I had just been thinking about it, and actually, and I don't mean to name drop, but Nolan Ryan is a good friend of mine, and I had given him a hard time about some of the things he was playing at the ballpark.
Is that trauma surgeon?
The trauma team is real. It's the real ER at Harris Methodist Hospital in Fort Worth, but this is only an exercise.
Pupils are dilated. Okay, let's lift. Get things out of the way. Ready to go.
Godley High School students are taking part in Shattered Dreams, a simulated wreck at the school and an ambulance ride to the hospital for several mock patients, including Cale Brown.
I guess we got in a little car accident this morning, coming back from a party. Drunk driving, texting.
His mother watches the simulated trauma care.
It's amazing to watch.
This is not something a parent would want to see.
No, never.
In this case, Dr. Michael Hickey lets the team know the injuries are too devastating.
I'm going to declare him brain dead at this point, but he still has a heartbeat.
Obsolete audio. I'm Mike Rogers with the other side of the news, and the inspiration to compile a list of sounds that our children have probably never heard came in what Kara Kowalczyk describes as one of those "you kids get off my lawn" moments.
These young whippersnappers, they don't know, you know, they've never had to try and win a radio contest with a rotary dial phone, for example.
And it seemed like all the numbers had lots of eights and nines and zeros in them.
Yes, the numbers are always at the end of the dial.
And the others on her list, which appears in the current issue of Mental Floss magazine, were just as obvious. How many of our kids have ever heard one of these? Remember that sound from typing class?
Now they don't even call it typing class. It's keyboarding.
All right, let's see. What else?
The old-fashioned coffee percolator.
Right.
I don't know if you remember. There used to be a commercial from Maxwell House where they had a little tune as they showed the coffee blooping up in the top.
And how about a flash cue? The old Sylvania Blue Dot.
You know, how many of us wasted that fifth picture because we forgot that we've already used four flashes?
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
The old school TV remote also made the list, as did the record changer on your fancy turntable. And the bell at the gas station.
It was fun to try and ride your bike over those hoses to see if you could make a ding.
Or just stomping on it with your foot.
Right, until the guy came and chased you away.
Cash registers were also on there, along with movie projectors and broken records.
Why do you fill me up? Why do you fill me up?
No, that's not just an expression. And Kara says there are so many more that she could have included. Like busy signals. And fax machines. The best one that did make the list, though, and it's appropriate that we finish with this one. TV stations signing off at the end of the day. You just don't see that anymore, do you? Does putting together a list like this make you feel old?
Yes, very much so.
And I'm Mike Rogers with the other side of the news on News Radio 1080. KRLD.
Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
The Texas Pinball Festival celebrates the machines that once ruled the arcade. Paul McKinney helps organize the festival each year and says it's a chance to show off the history of pinball.
We've got some machines here that date back to 1934. We've got a lot of games from the 50s and 60s.
They even bring in some game designers and manufacturers to talk about how the games were made and the next trends in the industry. But the main attraction is hundreds of pinball machines, no quarters required.
All these machines here are on free play. You can get a weekend pass for $30.
The Texas Transportation Institute has posted an online survey so you can rate the HOV lanes. Jason Crawford says the survey covers a number of topics.
Enforcement and the number of access points in the HOV system.
That one resonates with Alan Cloutier.
More exit ramps would be great. I mean, because with those little plastic or dividers and everything like that, I mean, you miss an exit, it makes it hard to get out.
The Transportation Institute is leaving a blank space at the end. The results of the survey will be sent to the Texas Department of Transportation and to DART, which is in charge of the North Texas HOV lanes. LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Champions of the NBA, your Dallas Mavericks pull away down the stretch to win it on ABC.
The Dallas Maverick fans starting to celebrate. Nowitzki, left hand, raise it in! And it's 103-92, and that should do it for the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm Austin York on McKinney Avenue in Dallas, and with about 4 minutes left in the game, fans could start feeling the excitement of a world championship.
So exciting! The Mavs won it!
Woo! And then there's the parade, because if you win a championship, you gotta have the parade. The Mavericks are gonna have one.
It feels magnificent. Since 2006, I've been waiting for this, and now it feels great.
We spoke with Dallas Mayor Dwayne Carraway this morning.
It will take place. That's number one. And in respect for the Mavericks and the management.
I love the parade. The traffic, I love every beat. I hear a drum.
People already starting to stake out their spots along the Mavs victory parade route through downtown Dallas. KRLD's Emily Troub is in downtown with more. Emily, good morning.
Good morning. It is a family affair over here at the Dallas Convention Center. Lots of people took the day off, and they brought their kids. And this is the first parade for these little guys.
What do you think? You excited?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite player?
Yes. Yes, Dirt.
Very proud Dirt fans there. And the fans started grabbing spots under trees over here by the Convention Center so they can be in the shade. It's going to be hot. 83 degrees right now in downtown Dallas. And the parade starts here at the Convention Center and ends at the American Airlines Center, but that's where the party begins, and that's where we find L.P. Phillips.
And Victory Plaza has been filling up for a long time. People have been standing at the intersection of Olive and Victory for, overnight. I know police said don't show up before this morning, but some people began camping out here 10 o'clock last night. Others, well, they slept in.
Three
in the morning, so you need chairs.
Yes.
Well, when you combine normal rush hour train service with thousands of Mavs fans headed downtown for the parade, you've got a lot of people to deal with. KRLD's Phyllis Smith joins us live now on the train in the West End. Phyllis.
When I first got on the train at Mockingbird Station, guys, it was packed. I mean, it was like sardines.
Many of them are using DART's light rail service to get there to avoid any parking hassles. KRLD's Emily Troop joins us live from outside the fairgrounds right now. Emily, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. And the DART trains, they're pulling into the station about every 5 minutes or so now.
Well, how was it taking the train?
It was good. We had to wait a little longer than we wanted for it, but it was good.
Is it okay?
Oh, yeah. Fast. Yeah. Easy. No problems.
Do you take it usually or is it just once a year for this?
Once a year.
Once a year.
We did a practice run yesterday.
Yeah.
The Texas OU fans are streaming into the gates of Fair Park. And there's a man outside here. He's been working for the fair for a long time, Kiwan Allen. He tells them what gate to go to.
Game tickets, this way, fair tickets, cross the tracks.
A lot of people come here just to go to the fair. They don't go to the actual game.
Well, there's a lot of people here that just go to the fair. Because, I mean, you have a lot of places out there. You have game day. You have ESPN out there. There's televisions everywhere. There's beer gardens. It's going to be a crazy day. It's going to be a crazy day.
Crazy and fun, for sure. Reporting live from Fair Park, Emily Troop, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
All right, let's go to the cotton.
You can water below the surface. Jason Darty with Kiss Irrigation says sprinkler systems were designed at a time when water was cheap.
Now it's not. What our system does is it uses water in a much more efficient manner. Our system will use 70% less water.
In this capillary irrigation subsurface system, capillary means the movement of water through the soil, fabric-lined tubes run 4 inches below the ground. Water moves through them and gets the soil wet.
Which is optimal. Plants and grass, your budding plants, the roots can't abstract water from capillaries of soil that are saturated.
In other words, he says sprinkler systems waste water. And we do too on our lawns.
70% of our water goes through landscape irrigation consumption. 50% of the water we have that runs through a conventional irrigation system is lost to wind, evaporation, and drainage.
News Radio 1080 KRLD and City Credit Union present the 33rd Annual Christmas is for Caring. There are several ways you can help. For more, we're live at the Humana Insurance Phone Bank.
KRLD's Emily Troop standing by with one of those phone bank volunteers that we've been telling you about all week. Emily?
That's right. Right here I have Rick O'Connor. His brother Tim has been in the Denton State Supported Living Center, you said, for about 20 years now, right?
That's right, 23 years.
And does he look forward to the presents that Santa brings every year?
He does.
This is CBS News.
Rolling blackouts could almost be here. Good afternoon, 503, 108 degrees the temperature at DFW Airport this afternoon. That is another new record. A complete outlook on the way at 508 as part of KRLD Traffic and Weather Together on the 8s. Thanks for joining us, and happy Thursday. With Bonnie Petrie, I'm Will Starrett.
It is our top story. After another day of triple-digit heat, ERCOT enacts a Stage 2 warning, meaning rolling blackouts could be on the horizon. KRLD's Austin York says we're now in the peak hour for electric usage.
Donnie Roark with ERCOT says we are closer than we were yesterday to the blackouts, but hopes that triggering Level 2 will help.
We can drop interruptible loads. Those are large customers that are paid to be dropped in an emergency situation, and that frees up extra capacity once we drop that load.
She says if that doesn't work, expect to see what she calls rotating outages, which have never been called for during the summer before. Roark says it's hard to predict when we will hit Stage 3, but there is a high probability that the blackouts will be implemented. She says conservation is a must. Austin York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Mourners paid final respects today to Prestonwood Christian Academy coach and teacher Wade McLean. He died of heat and a heart condition this week.
Well, if you're looking for
some answers.
Hundreds remembered Wade McLean as a family man and uplifting teacher and coach who held tightly to his religious values. His son, Rodney McLean, read from a book his father was writing, recalling how he had nearly died years earlier and felt he had spent time in heaven before returning to a hospital bed with a nurse at his side.
I also asked him how long it had been since I had medicine for the pain. I thought that maybe the medicine caused what I experienced. He said, whatever happened to me was not because of any medicine that I had taken. He said, I hadn't taken anything for over 8 hours.
I got a helmet on my head, in my hand up, sword and shield.
The football team concluded the service singing their team song. In Plano, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's 5:05 on News Radio 1080 KRLD, and 35,000 people turned out at Fair Park for the mayor's back-to-school fair, and Dallas Fire Rescue says despite the incredible heat, they only treated 2 people for heat-related issues. Another 7 people had to be treated for other medical problems. Folks stood in line in the heat for hours to get free school supplies and medical checkups. Mayor Mike Rawlings says there is great need.
80% of Dallas Independent School District's folks are in free lunch program. And so these are the folks that we want to make sure they're healthy and they've got the school supplies they need.
Listen to this. Parents started lining up for these services at 3 this morning, waiting hours in the early morning heat for the doors to open at 8 a.m. Now, there were cooling stations and volunteers handed out water.
The Lubbock YWCA fires 2 camp counselors after a boy was forgotten outside on an afternoon when it was above 100 degrees. A mother arrived at the camp Tuesday afternoon to pick up her son, but staffers couldn't find him. He was later located outside sleeping under a tree. Officials said the 2 staffers failed to do a mandatory headcount as campers were moved from a playground to a gym, and so that's why they left the payroll.
Okay, we're now in the most severe drought Texas has ever faced, and forecasters say it's only likely to get worse.
Blame the apparent return of La Nina.
More often than not, when we have La Nina conditions existing in the Central Pacific Ocean there along the equator, we in North Texas tend to have drier than normal weather during the fall, winter, and springtime.
Victor Murphy with the National Weather Service says we had a La Nina last winter and the odds of a repeat are pretty good. In fact, we had multiple La Ninas back in the 1950s during that terrible drought. He also thinks we've got a great shot at breaking the 1980 record of 42 days of triple-digit heat. Barbara Schwartz, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Well, the drought is having a huge impact on farmers here in Texas, as well as the food they grow.
We're hopeful that other regions of the country will have bumper crops to offset our losses.
Texas Ag Commissioner Todd Staples says farmers are suffering billions of dollars in losses, and he says both the cotton and corn crops are just devastated.
Okay, the day was ugly on Wall Street. The Dow dropped more than 500 points. SMU economist Mike Davis says he is concerned about tomorrow's jobless numbers. He says putting more people to work is the only way the economy is going to improve.
The government's track record in creating jobs is, shall we be charitable, horrible. You know, we've spent lots and lots of money. I mean, think about all the stimulus money, the cash for clunkers and every other idea that's come along. And it really hasn't added much to jobs.
He says we're not recovering from this recession, and a lot of it's political. And he says there's real concern that the government isn't getting its act together. Of course, we'll have more on today's developments on Wall Street for you coming up with business analyst David Johnson at 5:25 right here on KRLD.
Straight ahead.
I'm Chuck Schechter. They put their own lives in danger and now talk about the rescue of a man from a 700-foot tower.
Traffic and weather together on the 8s. News Radio 1080 KRLD.
508 and Rob Sibley has a new wreck on 35.
Northbound side of 35 as you're coming out of downtown. Right there at Commerce, right lane is blocked, and that's why traffic is slow back beyond I-30. We're also seeing a little bit of a delay on that westbound side of I-30 as you head through the downtown Dallas Canyon. Now, on the southbound side of I-35, not because of this wreck, just because traffic was already slow this afternoon. We're seeing delays that start just past Wycliffe, all the way down past Woodall Rogers, and LBJ is still heavy and slow on that eastbound side. Now, this is because of that ongoing HOV lane construction. That starts just past the tollway and remains heavy and slow all the way over 275.
George Bush Turnpike eastbound running slow at Coit. That's where you start to see the brake taps, and that continues on over to 75 northbound. You're not going to see relief until you get up past Legacy. Mike Gould is flying over the North Freeway.
35W, the northbound direction, heavy now. From North Side Drive, this extends just past the loop.
out near Western Center Boulevard, and then you'll get a little bit of a break as you move towards 287 on the southbound side of 35W. Same story. We're finding that really from Meacham Boulevard all the way down to right near the 280 overhead is very heavy stop-and-go traffic. It will break apart after that point as you make transition down onto the South Freeway.
This update is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, stock up on your basics just in time for back to school. Right now at JCPenney, save on all men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks. Right now's the best time to get your favorite jockey fits and gold toe styles. Go to JCPenney today or shop jcp.com. JCPenney. With traffic and weather together on the 8th, next report at 518. I'm Julie Mack on your traffic leader, KRLD.
34 days in a row. That's where we stand now. I'm CBS 11 Chief Meteorologist Larry Mowry. That's the number of 100-degree days we've seen in a row here in North Texas, and tomorrow will be day number 35. 42 is the all-time longest streak of triple-digit weather. That occurred back in 1980, and it's certainly possible we could get there by next Friday. Tonight, we're down to 85. Tomorrow, a high of 108, 107 on Saturday, and 105 on Sunday. Temperatures stay in the triple digits through next week with just a small chance of rain coming our way next Thursday.
And right now, 108 degrees. We broke the record that was set oh so long ago in 1951. 60-year-old temperature record. It was 107. And today, 108 degrees. And the news brought to you by Advanced Foundation Repair.
At 5:12 on News Radio 1080 KRLD. Elsewhere today, we've hit the peak hour of the day for electricity usage in Texas. State officials are asking everyone to conserve. Terry Hadley with the Public Utility Commission says even small steps can make a big difference.
If you're in an office, even if your building doesn't have a conservation plan, if you have some outside light coming in and you can do your work with the lights off, do that. Every little bit helps, and that will lessen the load.
We've not seen any rolling blackouts yet, but officials say they are a possibility. And we do have the latest on this developing story for you throughout your drive home right here on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Firefighters who rescued a worker from a communication tower 700 feet up talk about how they managed to get him down.
Temperatures were over 100 degrees yesterday when the firefighters had to climb that tower. Dallas Fowler was the first to reach the man overcome by heat.
I tried to get him some fluids, gave him some water. That's about it. Just calmed him, kept him calm.
Those firefighters put their own lives in danger climbing the tower. Firefighter Bill Buchanan made the climb. Even though he's an avid rock climber, he's 56 years old.
About three quarters of the way up, you start cramping up a little bit because of all the heat exhaustion and dehydration and stuff. Just kept on going.
The lengthy and dramatic rescue paid off as they got the man to the ground. He's in the hospital. Burleson Mayor Ken Shatter says he's proud of the rescuers.
It's one of a thousand things they're trained to do, and to do it that well is really impressive.
Chuck Schechter, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
We're headed to San Antonio with the Cowboys and Roger Emmerich next.